hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. As we said, Terry Savage is in the studio, as she is on most Wednesday afternoons. Terry, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Thank you for coming out of your writing hole or dungeon.
I've been chained to my desk. I'm so excited about this new... I shouldn't talk about it yet. It won't be out till late summer.
You already talked... You mentioned it earlier.
I did, because I was sitting there. And
is it a secret? It's not a...
No, the Savage Truth on Money, third edition, will be out late summer, early fall. And there were no cryptos, no robos, no algos when I wrote it. Not to mention that people have a whole different approach to money these days. So it's been a wonderful project, and it's been a big change.
When did the first edition come out?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was was it 2000? Maybe, yeah, it was even
19
earlier
years
than
ago.
That. Yeah. The last edition, though, was 10 years ago. So.
Well, so then that would apply, because, you know, my thing is, when I started working 30 years ago or so, you were much more likely to have a fixed pension. And, you know, that's almost unheard of now.
Everything has changed. But not
only... So my point about it is that now we have so much, we have many more options, but we have so much responsibility that we could screw up ourselves, our retirement.
In multiple ways. Yeah. But there's so much more access to advice. And then came this whole fiduciary thing. I mean, I mentioned the word fiduciary in the first book. This book, there's a whole chapter coming up on how to find a fiduciary, what the difference means, and so forth.
Did you see the, speaking so much more advice... I won't have it in front of me now, but Susie Orman is in a bit of a spitting match with a columnist because she says something like, you know, a daily Starbucks habit is like peeing $1 million away over your lifetime. And the columnist took her on saying, you know, that there's so much competition now among advisors in the media, that you have to be a little outrageous and take on sometimes bad ideas just to get noticed. Which, when you said there's so much more out there to get, that sort of struck me, because you have to know who to follow, too.
That's part of it, and what their motivations are for telling you things. And that's the biggest responsibility, I think, that's changed over the last decade. You could get by just sort of getting by, but now there are so many alternatives that you really do need good advice. And how much to pay, where to find it. How to know if it's good, how much is worth paying for. Hey, look, good advice is worth paying for.
Sure.
But just to pay automatic 1% fees just because your money's someplace, well, that's silly, because you could go to Vanguard or Schwab and Fidelity and pay next to nothing if you have some thoughts on your own, and they'll be willing to help you.
How are we better off now with the 401k and with the power we have over our old money, or were we better off under the old fixed pension system?
To be honest, you know, I get a pension now from my union.
I will get
a card-carrying union member of AFTRA.
I will get a union AFTRA pension, too, yeah. But not very much.
No aggravation. They just took that money out, okay? But it doesn't... if we have inflation, that's a fixed pension amount. It doesn't have a cost-of-living adjustment. Social Security has a little cost-of-living adjustment. So if you do it well... You can do better with your 401k. It's just that we dumped that responsibility about 30 years ago, 35 years ago, as companies started to switch over on people who weren't prepared. I'm knocking on wood at the desk here. I hope this is wood instead of Formica or whatever it is. But that, you know, I did my own 401k, and it's worked because I ate my own cooking all those years, and
right.
I never got scared out at the wrong times. I was thinking every time I sat there was a market crash, I never made an adjustment in my investments. Not so much that I saw them coming, but when I was in the middle of them, I went, hey, I'm telling everybody not to panic. I'm not panicking.
All right, so the book is coming out next summer, and we will talk about it every week until then. So,
just talk about this
tomorrow.
There's
really no reason to buy it, because we'll cover it all.
Yeah, exactly. But you want it on your shelf so late at night. You know, you can go anywhere late at night and
get information. You've got a big sit-down coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'm interviewing at the Union League Club, and I haven't checked in the last 2 days, but I think there are tickets available, the Union League Club's Authors Luncheon.
If there's not tickets, just put on a suit jacket and sneak in. I've done that before.
Do that. And George, just say you're Terry Savage's friend. It's $35 if you're not a member. And call the Union League Club today. I forgot the name.
And do not wear jeans.
Union League Club at Jackson in Chicago. And Stephen Moore, who is number one, wrote a book with Art Laffer about...
Ryan Burrow in the newsroom points out, too, you can't wear jeans at the Union Club.
Oh, very important. Right. But I once wore the most sophisticated jeans. I mean, you wouldn't really know they were jeans. They made me take them off and put on a pair of borrowed pants.
I got kicked out of the Union League Club trying to cover Zbigniew Brzezinski in the 80s. Remember?
Yeah, sure.
He was Carter's national security advisor, and same sort of thing. I had to put on an ill-fitting jacket just to go in.
Okay, yeah, but this is like, I mean, we're almost at 2020.
I know.
They've changed the rules a little bit,
so
but don't
Stephen
wear jeans.
Moore, yes.
Stephen Moore, who wrote a book with Art Laffer called Trumponomics, because, you know, Art Laffer was the author of Reaganomics. And Art Laffer has just, I think I mentioned, posted a new paper about the fact that if you calculate the tax revenue increases from the third quarter of 2017 when it went into effect, when all the corporations brought back before year end their overseas money and paid taxes on them, that Trumponomics has been a success. Now, you know, my first question to him is, I mean, is there really a Trumponomics? I mean, it was one thing. Reagan had a pretty good idea of what he wanted to do and he articulated it well. I'm not terribly sure that I've got to ask him at lunch about that. Also, you know, he's the potential nominee for the Fed. Or has been discussed as so.
Yeah, but he might be in trouble now. Is he one of the ones in trouble?
Well, yeah, both he and
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain, four senators came out and said they wouldn't vote for him. But Stephen Moore has some personal problems. But it's interesting. He's not an economist. But then again, there's been some discussion about economists aren't in touch with the real world. I will be fascinated. I hope he'll talk about that. He's here to talk about his book.
You'll tell us about it next week.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
United Health and others in the healthcare sector are suffering on Wall Street today. United Health spoke about it yesterday because of this Medicare for All that Bernie Sanders and others are advocating. This to me strikes one. You know, people are talking about it. It's not any closer to being. I never understand why a stock will suffer on something that's so far from reality.
Because it's not far from reality.
They'll sell off today and they'll buy back in 3 weeks.
Let's forget talking about the stock price. Why don't we just talk for a nanosecond? And because I'm going to make myself unpopular here, so we'll just do a short riff.
Oh, that couldn't be. It's not possible. You try your
Medicare
best.
Medicare is wonderful. I have it now. You can go to any doctor. You can buy a supplement. It pays for about everything. So far, nobody said, I'm sorry, I don't take Medicare. So you get to see the best specialists if you need them, and it's a great program. And call me selfish. You're already going to think
you're going to be
this.
A NIMBY, right? Not in my backyard?
Well, let me say that I have spent some time in Canada and seen my friends suffer through the Canadian health system, which is essentially Medicare for All. It is the government pays and the government organizes, and yes, you will get taken care of. When you will get taken care of is a totally different story. And I was in an emergency room. I don't want to bore you with the details, but unless you're dying, if you're moaning in pain, if you're bleeding a little, you wait behind. I said, but wait, this is serious. Look, I mean, at Northwestern Memorial, they triage you and they take you. And it doesn't matter what kind of insurance you have. But the system builds up to, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait in line. Or, I'm sorry, we only have 8 hours in the operating room a day. But this man can't wait. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's the negative side, and I get that.
Not a negative side. That's a horrible side of government controlling resources and doctors and forget insurance
companies. But everyone
companies.
Has access to it.
If everybody has access to it, and in a certain way, people have access to it here, but I'm not going to get in that fight. What I'm saying is when you take the incentives for better performance, because...
Sure.
Just, you know, go to the post office. I rest my case. Do you want... Sorry, we don't have enough time. Let me say, you go to the Dearborn post office, the main post office on Dearborn
Street. I do not want them taking my gallbladder out.
No,
I do not.
And you see people who... Yeah, there's people in line. So what? Well, it's lunchtime. Yeah, that's why we're there, because it's our lunchtime. So if you want Medicare for All, just think about the post office. I know I made a lot of enemies, but it's a savage truth.
And she has a column up at terrysavage.com about something we talked about last week or the week before about how to sort of protect some of your retirement money. But, man, you have to talk slowly on this one for me.
Okay. That's why I wrote a separate column. It's up at terrysavage.com about why you would want to convert part of your IRA, your rollover IRA, maybe after you retire.
So you work, you get a 401k, you roll it, you leave the work, you roll it over into your own IRA.
Exactly. Well, at any point, if you have a traditional IRA, you can roll over your traditional IRA into a Roth, meaning from that point on, two things happen, good things. All the money from that point on grows tax-free, and you never get those minimum required distributions, RMDs, that you have to take after 7 years.
But when you cash out your 401k to roll it into a Roth.
Wait, you don't cash it out.
I'm sorry, when your traditional IRA to move it into a Roth.
Yeah, you don't cash it, you roll it. That's important. But yes, at that moment, you must pay all the taxes due at your then marginal rate. So if, let's just say, you had a $100,000 IRA and you rolled it over and you're in the 32% tax bracket, that implies $32,000 worth of taxes on this. And number one, that's a huge tax hit. Number two, you need to have the money outside the IRA to pay it because you got to roll it all into the Roth.
Interesting.
So that means you have some liquidity outside that you're going to sop up. And so most people would never think of doing that. By the way, if you do add that to your ordinary income, it could impact, if you're older, your Medicare Part B premiums or other government benefits. But why would you even think of doing this? Because think about this in a big picture. We're in a sort of sweet spot. We are in a period of relatively low tax rates. These tax rates are set to expire in 2025. Who knows who will be in power then and whether they will raise taxes. So if you fall into the sweet spot of retiring this year or next year, when your paycheck stops and you're 67, 68, you don't want to take Social Security until you reach them, you know, your full retirement age. So maybe if you're retired 65, you thought, well, I'll live on savings for a year. That's the year your income will be lowest, the income you receive because you retired, and you're not taking money out of your retirement plan yet. And maybe you're not even taking Social Security or you get Social Security. You're at a very low spot in your income and tax rates are very low. And if you convert your IRA to a Roth at that point, you could have the chance for tax-free growth for the rest of your life, and your heirs will pick up that Roth IRA. Now, you don't have to convert your entire IRA.
But the big picture
is, you might want to convert a portion of it.
The impetus for all of this is that tax rates are low now, and they're probably going to go higher. So
and
why not
your
pay
required
the lower
minimum
rate now?
Distributions are going to put you into a higher income bracket later on because the government's going to make sure they collect. They want you to empty your IRA by the time you're 83, their actuarial age. But you might live longer.
Right.
So those are going to be years where, A, you're retired, but you're taking out required distributions. You might be in a higher tax bracket. So this is not an all-time thing. But if you're thinking of retiring, this could be a sweet spot. Read the article at terrysavage.com.
And so this is the sort of thing, right? So it's not going to apply to everyone. It's going to apply to a sliver, but the sliver to whom it applies might really benefit.
One more warning. You used to be able to do it, reconvert, recharacterize it if you made a mistake or the market fell and your account was worth less, you didn't want to pay all those taxes. It's an irrevocable decision now, Roth IRA.
Terry Savage, read it at terrysavage.com. We'll talk again next week.
Okay.